I'm Brian McCreath from WCRB with François-Xavier Roth, who is back for a second week with the Boston Symphony Orchestra, a fabulous program that we'll get into the details of. First, thank you for taking a few minutes to talk with me.
It's my pleasure, as always.
This program has so many threads and overlapping aspects between and among the pieces. So I'm going to lay out a couple of them, and you tell me how you began to conceive of this program. Three composers all born within about 2 years of each other, and three pieces that each in their own way announces this composer to the world. So am I onto the way that you decided to begin putting together this program?
Yes, as I very often do, I started because I wanted to do one of the Stravinsky ballets. I had the great pleasure to conduct here Petrushka a few years ago, and it was such a great memory, so we decided to do another ballet by Stravinsky, L'Oiseau de Feu, Firebird. And then I start with this main work in the second half, and what could we program around? And what I find very exciting is that to experience in a concert, three composers, as you said, who are close because it's Europe, it's the same century, approximately the same time they compose, etc. But three personalities who go in so different directions. And for the listeners, I think it's a great experience to see how, in the same time in music history, in the zone of the world, Europe, the composers could experiment or could go in such different directions. So that was the idea of this program. And I would say that it's also a tribute to the modernity, a tribute to avant-garde, as we say in French, and also three composers who were really great utopists. So it's also for me a kind of statement because I, as I very often say, I like modern music from every time. So I like the modern creators more than composers who are a little bit conservative. So these three modern composers are united in this program.
There is one thing that they to me, have in common, though. I mean, there are many differences in their language and what they try to do, but each of them also considers the tone, the timbre of what they write for to be essential to the music, it feels like. The transcriptions of these pieces may sometimes work, but sometimes not. But in the composer's minds, the instruments they wrote for each second of music ultimately completely matters to them.
Yes, and also, with what is very interesting, I think, is that you can really experience that these three composers, Anton Webern, Béla Bartók, and Igor Stravinsky, when you hear these works, you can really say that you have, at this time in Europe, not really schools, but though nations with cultures. With Stravinsky, we have, for sure, with Firebird, the first big success by this young composer. He's not already 30 years old. And this music, for sure, comes from Russia. You have lots of Rimsky-Korsakov, Borodin, all these roots that you can feel in this music. With Béla Bartók, for sure, you have already the vocabulary of rhythm and of folk music, which is really in the blood of his work. And with Webern is more complicated because then he turned in another direction with the serialism. But though you have with Webern, with this Opus 1 Passacaglia, a kind of a post-Mahler, post-Wagner music that comes in this Austria, in this country. So you have still three nations, three schools. And it is fascinating to see how, at that time, it means the beginning of 20th century, also through music, what the composers wanted to show of their own cultures.
Well, and specifically when it comes to Bartok, this is the piece that, unlike the other two, he wrote it for himself to perform. And so what do you feel like you gain from this piece that tells you something about Bartok the pianist? What kind of pianist was he, could we say, based on how this piece is written?
Well, we can hear his recordings as well. He was a good pianist, not an exceptional pianist, but what what interests me also very much in this, how the piano plays a role in his life, is that the piano, for sure, goes back to its roots, percussive instrument. So the second movement, including all the percussions and the piano, and also to see how Bartok considers the role of the solo instrument piano inside of this form. The beginning, for example, you can say the piano is an instrument of the orchestra. It's an extension of the orchestra. So it's also very interesting sometimes in this work to experience the fact that the piano is not at all anymore, like Tchaikovsky, Rachmaninoff, such this giant in front of the orchestra. It goes in the basis of the sound of the orchestra and the new developments, the new variations of this role and of this instrument is really like a new area for the instrument.
And what Pierre-Laurent Aimard brings to the piece, tell me about his playing as it's reflected through this piece.
Well, I mean, he's a great musician. We didn't do that much. We did the Berg Kammer Concert together. But I know him for years because he's one of my heroes, may I say. He was the pianist of Pierre Boulez in the Ensemble Artin Contemporain. And he's got such an amazing repertoire. Also, he performed Beethoven with Harnoncourt. He's an open-mind artist. And what I like very much, as a musician, is that also he played in the orchestra or the ensemble. So he has a very, very rich experience as musician, not only playing the concertos. So it's a pleasure to play with him this work because he understands also so well the role of the instrument in this work. And very often he plays like an instrumentalist in the orchestra and suddenly goes with this brilliant sonority. But yes, he's an amazing artist. And I would say simply that his culture, generally speaking, from Stockhausen to Beethoven, Bach, until Boulez, his culture is so huge that you can feel that when you listen to him and when you play with him. So I'm very honored that we can do music together.
One little detail about the Bartok, and I just noticed in rehearsal, you have a percussionist sitting right down there, right under you, next to the pianist. Is that your decision or was that Bartok's decision?
It's not Bartok's decision. It's a kind of tradition that the percussionists could play in front, close to the piano, because the second movement is so to do with the whole team of piano percussive with the percussions. And here we decided to go for this position. It's the suggestion of the player himself. And I think it's a brilliant idea because then it gives such a connection with Pierre-Laurent and they do chamber music together.
That's Kyle Brightwell from the percussion section. Terrific percussionist. When it comes to the Firebird, you've done this with Les Siecles, so you've experienced to the best that you can the way that this must have been when it was premiered in 1910 with the instruments that those players had. And did your experience with Les Siecles in some way change the way that you thought about Firebird?
Oh, yes, definitely. It was a shock because it was the first from the three Stravinsky's ballet that we performed with Les Siecles on paired instruments, so with gut strings, with all the French instruments that we had in the wind, the brass, the percussion. And it was a shock because suddenly I experimented as a conductor all the different colors which were not so clear for me. We have an idea of Stravinsky with the most brilliant orchestras of the new, after the war, may I say, in the 20th century, but it was not at all what he knew at first when he came to Paris. So yes, it was a really revelation for me when we performed it with Les Siècles. And I'm very glad that I can bring also this part of my experience here in Boston, because this orchestra, as I already said, the Boston Symphony Orchestra, is an orchestra with such a great French culture in the sound, in the articulation, and it's only, if I may say, in the work, only you open the box and suddenly you find the most amazing chocolat and bonbons coming from the orchestra. This orchestra has such a culture of colors, and for sure with Firebird, it's very to do with the colors and how the instruments dialogue together this amazing score.
You mentioned that we can listen to Bartok play as a pianist on recordings. We can also see Stravinsky conduct. Do those videotapes have relevance for you as a conductor, especially as it pertains to Firebird?
It's always complicated with Stravinsky because he was not so comfortable as a conductor. He was, as a performer, a kind, sometimes, strangely, sometimes he was the opposite of his music. He couldn't communicate with his body so well. The precision of his music and the complexity of the rhythms, etc. But still, it's very interesting to watch him, because you can see him watching, for example, conducting the Firebird, what he wanted absolutely not. So when for example, he conducts a passage and you can see that he wants the trombone to be very in time, it means that it's something he really wanted. And also, I would say that when you see him rehearsing more than performing, you can hear and attend really his focuses. How to phrase, how not to phrase, how the music should sound, should speak. This is very interesting.
It's sort of detective work to look through those videos and find the things that really matter versus those things that you can let slide because he's not that great a performer, I guess, yeah?
Yeah, and it's really interesting because also you can see him young and older, and it's not the same performer, I would say. But also the great luck I had is to dialogue with Pierre Boulez, who knew Stravinsky so well. So it was also very interesting to ask many questions to Pierre about these works, the changing of the versions, etc., and how his own experience with Stravinsky dialoguing, you can understand more about the works. And for example, what I find very interesting is that Boulez told me that personally he only conducted the whole ballet version, the initial version, because he found totally stupid the fact that these other versions were maybe for money or to promote the work itself. And I find it very, very good when he said that to me. I suddenly realized, yes, he's completely right. The matrix of Firebird is the ballet, is the whole ballet. Even the orchestra is huge and it's complicated with the offstage musicians, etc. But still, it's the very best version of the work.
You have completely anticipated my last question for you, which was that certainly on this program, only the complete ballet would do, because we've got the Bartok and the Webern, and we have to hear all these together. And I love even the parts that people say in the continuity of the ballet that maybe isn't as good as the rest of it. I love it all because it all flows so in such a narrative. Do you ever do the suites from? No, you don't.
No, I do the whole ballet because for sure you can understand the exact dramaturgy of the work if you experience the whole ballet. For example, the famous cachet Infernal Dance, you can't understand if you don't have the progression before the dance. And also, what is fascinating for me is to experience this long work with a young composer. For sure, you have, for example, I don't know, 20 minutes where the trombones don't play. And you think, but it's a mistake of a young composer not to use the full orchestra or also the double basses, etc. But still, we experience a masterwork and a work from such a young composer. So it's for me really moving also to attend and to play the whole ballet.
François-Xavier Roth, so good to have you back in Boston. Thanks for this terrific program and thanks for your time today.
My pleasure.